In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As our nation celebrates 250 years, there's been a lot of events celebrating freedom, independence, and America in general. But you've heard from this pulpit before that you should know just exactly what somebody's talking about when they say that word freedom, what it is in reference to, what are we free from? Today we'll have a bit of a refresher of that, and perhaps with a few different angles as it ties with the gospel that we just heard. At about the time of the American Revolution, the notion of freedom, what was meant by that, was in fact changing when a common person said that word, compared to when they spoke about freedom earlier. For example, about 250 years before the American Revolution, many of you might be familiar with Luther's famous treatise, The Freedom of a Christian. And there, right from pretty much the get-go of the famous treatise, The Freedom of a Christian, Luther writes, "A Christian is perfectly free and Lord of all and subject to none. A Christian is perfectly dutiful servant of all and subject to all." And so, when people hear that today, they just want to say, "What in the world are you talking about? That seems in total opposition, to be free and yet be a servant." But those words are showing the biblical truth about freedom and service. It expresses the faith that is in Christ Jesus and the life that is lived by faith in Him, where we keep realizing His freedom deeper and deeper as we live as His servants. It means that because Christ has paid for my sin fully, because He is my Savior, I am not enslaved to anything. Nobody and nothing else is in ultimate authority over me, whatever they may say. But as Christ is my Lord, and as He did the ultimate service for me by dying to my sin, dying for my sin, annulling my death, I therefore serve where He has placed and appointed me. And I know that He will be keeping me free from sin and the devil's accusations. And as I do my servant duties, where He calls me with the people He calls me to serve, this is what freedom is going to look like. I listen to and I obey people He might have put in temporal authority over me, but I know that He will be doing good in the world as I do that, as I listen to them. And like this, as I keep hearing and obeying His word above all, trusting in Him, I will realize finally the great reward that He has promised and sealed to me with in blood when He baptized me. Where did the notion of freedom ever come from? Hasn't mankind always somewhat been enslaved and entangled? Well, I think when we say that word freedom, I think most anybody offhand would probably think of the notion of a slave being free from his master, or maybe a prisoner being free from prison. But freedom goes way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. When they had listened to a different word than God's word, they were captive under the devil. But it was the freedom that they had by the promise of the Savior, the Messiah, whose heel would be bruised, that they had that they knew the Lord's forgiveness and freedom from the devil's tyranny and manipulation. Freedom is furthermore a picture of what happened with the Passover. Pharaoh had made himself like God and was abusing the children of Israel, taking from them while putting himself in God's place. But the Lord freed them so that they could go and serve Him, as it says, in their own land. As His children, they were to have a new land which was His land, but it would be their land because they were His children. But all of the Passover event was really in anticipation of the greater Passover that is Christ our Lord by His death and His resurrection that you and I participate in. We, in this corner of the world, we have eternal life in heaven with the Lord because we are His. And yet, of course, falling enslaved is a perpetual problem for mankind. And I mentioned right about the time of the American Revolution, the common meaning of freedom was changing and what it referred to. Now, I understand that Patrick Henry, one of the founding fathers, he was a Christian. And when he said that famous phrase, "Give me liberty," think freedom, "or give me death," I think he meant that he didn't want to be working his whole life to serve the King of England, who was making life totally miserable, taking blessings that didn't belong to him so that he could boost his own profits and ambitions. And Henry, meanwhile, didn't want to see his neighbors. Patrick Henry didn't want to see his neighbors constantly having their belongings taken by the British army for abuse. They wanted to raise their families where they could, in a land where they could hear and learn God's word. And yes, they knew they needed civic government to keep them ordered while they'd live together and as they would pursue that. But they knew that everybody is by nature sinful and unclean, and left unabated, tyranny would happen. But a good government will allow the preaching of Christ as Lord, who frees us from sin and frees us for those good things that his word points us to as we live in our daily duties with one another. We will realize the blessings of freedom civically. Yet what the popular notion of freedom was becoming around the time of the American Revolution ties in well in a certain way with the gospel today. You see, some of the founders of our country, while they may have believed that there is a God, many were not Christian. But when they heard the word freedom, they thought this meant nearly a lack of all bounds to go and just pursue their own course, make of themselves a great name. Almost as if they were looking for to be like the people who built the Tower of Babel. "I guess we need government," they may have said, "but if they just let me go and pursue all that is possible, I can make myself great." To them, God may be somewhere in the heavens, but he's really like a giant clockmaker. He just kind of keeps things wound up in an orderly universe that works in a certain order, but really God is removed from the everyday, they would have said. "But this here, this is my territory. And I can be great and experience many blessings for myself." That's what happens when you don't have not just merely God, a God, but Christ as Lord. Well, with the gospel today, we know that Peter, as well as James and John, John the Baptist, other of the inner 12 who were there, they already knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Lord God in human flesh, the one Moses wrote about, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You can see this clearly in John 1. And Peter reflects this also today when he calls Jesus Master. He says, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing but at your word." Now, calling Jesus Master indicates that Peter, he had thought of himself as Jesus' servant. And yet you can picture a bit of cocksureness about Peter when he says this. He says he's Jesus' servant, and Jesus may be the savior from sin, but when it comes to the fishing business, well, he's not my savior from bad days fishing. Peter thinks, this is really my territory here. But why that miraculous catch of fish? Jesus was showing Peter, no, this is my territory too. And Peter could only feel his sinfulness all the more. He found that he had been presumptuous before God Almighty, who is over all things. It's Jesus. He is over the fish of the sea, and he keeps everything in its place. But here he had been crossing the lines. Peter's mind and his heart were totally warped, so that he would even approach the Lord God himself to his face with cocksurety. Indeed, Peter deserved to be drowned in the depths of the sea and having the regretful reminder of his sin ever before him, and that's why he asked the Lord to depart from him. "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And yet, what did Jesus say there? He says, "Do not be afraid." In other words, "I forgive you, Peter." And then he says, From now on, Peter, you will be catching men. Even sinful, warped Peter, now closely following Jesus, doing his great work. If Jesus can just make all the fish hop into the boat, what does he need me for? Well, Jesus wants to catch men, that is to say, to have people come to faith and be gathered to him through the speaking of his word and teaching of them by fellow people. In so doing, Jesus would be upholding and affirming the world, creation, that it is good, but he would be renewing it from its corruption, from the inside out, as his word takes root and is in possession and is being used by people in its midst. Yes, creation decays, but the word of the Lord, who truly rules and by his death and resurrection has power to free and forgive all, he will be renewing it even in the midst of its decay. This is what the Lord was calling Peter to do. And as weak as Peter's faith and understanding may be, as limited as his imagination, the Lord would bless the many things Peter would do as he would put his hand forward to tasks that were too big for him. Living by faith, bold faith, despite an immensely big battle where we don't have the power within us of ourselves, this is what the Lord was calling Peter to do. Now back to the American Revolution. The movement known as the Enlightenment, as well as the movement known as Romanticism, that had been happening around the time of the American Revolution, was a lot like Peter thinking that he was relatively independent and in control. The Enlightenment and movements therewith had the notion that I am individually able to govern myself, be autonomous, I am naturally good and free, and if I just have a few of the right tools and a chance, I can make something great of myself. It's a total lie. And yet, it's much in the air that we still breathe, that we breathe today, to think that we don't need Christ and that God is really out of the picture. You know, folks, if we don't have Jesus as Lord, if we are not in his word, we won't know the first way to think rightly about anything. We would easily have all the wrong notions of even basic things that God built into creation, like male and female, that you think should be obvious. But if you don't have Christ as Lord, well, I'll make of myself however I feel. We might even think that babies in the wombs are burdens instead of blessings. That's what happens when you don't have Christ, a man who comes in our likeness, who is God, when you don't have him as Lord. Peter, it seems that he thought the way many people in America think about life and think about what is possible for them. You can see this by how he's washing his nets while Jesus is preaching. He thought he knew what is really important, what really sustains life. It's the preparing of my nets for fishing. The thought was, you work hard, you don't upset the balance, you tend to your family, you'll live the American dream, coasting into retirement, and church is just a nice place for meeting friends. Retirement wasn't invented until the late 1800s, by the way, but back then they used to take care of their aging relatives while they still worked to some capacity, but they couldn't work so much. But I bring this up because, you see, if people are living first and foremost the so-called American dream, meaning a nice, comfortable retirement in this world with plenty of money saved up, that is actually what enslaves. You would always be thinking of hitting that magic goal when you can check out of life and nobody will be able to tell me what to do, or at least so much. Well, it's not necessarily wrong to be retired. But that belief that you are autonomous and that you can live at your own whims and nothing will affect me, it's really making you godless, out of control, and furthermore, You'll always be living to protect your income, worried about it, and greedy to gain more, and complaining about whatever would seem to threaten it. Thus, you would have the wrong master, dictating all the wrong terms and calling all the wrong shots. Instead of constantly living in responsive faith in the needs that are set before you. What Jesus was doing today, you see, is he was freeing Peter from the Galilean dream. But Jesus showed him the reality and freed him from the worst things that Peter could have easily gotten into if he just kept pursuing money. Peter would be doing immensely brave things in the future instead as he kept heeding Jesus' word and seeking for the gospel's furtherance freely and gladly. And as much as Peter would screw up, still Jesus would be delivering him and making him more and more fearless, more free and willing to serve the living God and the greater needs and for the greater blessings that money can't buy. He was free to serve in greater capacity as well as to enjoy the blessings. In your life in Christ, the Lord will often call you into things that you are positioned for that you could do, but maybe you've had some reservations about them for selfish reasons. There's something holding you back from them. If there's a task where somebody really could use some help that God knows they need, basic needs even, or something that would facilitate and involve the gospel being delivered to someone, but you've been holding back because of some reservations to personal income or other things, well, the Lord would probably have you go and pursue that venture for the sake of the gospel or for the sake of your neighbor who has a great need, so that they could be sustained in the life of faith. Likewise, many younger people might think, should I get married and have kids when I lose my independence and more autonomy, freedom to do what I want? Well, yeah, most likely you should get married. There's a position being needed to be filled at church. I guess I could do it, but I don't want to lose too much of my time and I hardly feel qualified. Well, yes, you should most likely step into it. In such things, you will find greater freedom, greater blessings. You will be growing up into the full measure of manhood or womanhood and the life that the Lord sets out for you, and realizing the greater blessings as you engage in God's word. The normal way that the Lord makes Christians and that he cares for people throughout life is through the service of unqualified people. Indeed, through the service of sinners. There is no parent, husband, wife, or pastor who is ever qualified. But he calls all to act in faith according to his word, contrary to your sinful nature. And he blesses the faithful deeds that we but begin doing. He makes great things happen. In your life of service to him, through actions that you do in responsive faith, the calls for freedom to divest of worldly loves. This is what brings you greater freedom and greater joy. And that's the kind of freedom that the Lord calls you into deeper and deeper. It's through such faithful actions in the midst of what seems difficult that you find greater and greater freedom. You know, Elijah, he was about the most free of anybody in the whole Old Testament. As much as he was on the run so often. If they killed him, like they killed many of the other prophets in his time, he knew he would be with the Lord. But he was fleeing, you see, so that he could continue to preach God's true word in the face of a nation that had fallen into idolatry. As a prophet, he was in the work of freeing people from the tyranny of idolatry, dehumanizing idolatry. You could see that when the prophets of Baal were cutting themselves in supposed worship of the true of their God. But he, Elijah, was pointing them to the true God and his Messiah that was yet to come. King Ahab and Jezebel feared Elijah because through him, the Lord's word and reign drove a stake right into the heart of all their idolatrous tyranny. Many cowered from Elijah because as much as he was but a scrawny, ordinary man, he didn't walk to the beat of their drum. He was fearless. Well, today, Elijah was at the feeling he was at his end. He had faced all these huge challenges. His life was continually threatened, and continually seeing oppressive evil and seeing no fruit of it, or at least he thought so. Well, now he was just wanting to hide out the rest of his days and die, and he thought he could confidently ask the Lord for that. But that wasn't the Lord's thought. So what did the Lord do? Well, you heard it. He told him to go back, and in his instructions, see what he tells Elijah to do. He tells him to go back about 100 miles right through Ahab's territory to anoint the king of Syria, Israel's archenemy, thus committing high treason. And then also, right after that, he's going to go back into Ahab's territory and go right back into the heart of Ahab's army and anoint one of his generals, Jehu, to be king in Ahab's place. High treason on a second account. And then he's going to anoint Elisha to be his successor, where there will be a return to the Lord. It might, you see, the Lord here, notice the self-righteousness in Elijah, even, that could still rear its head, even in this great prophet who had sacrificed so much. And here, while he was exhausted, how does the Lord treat Elijah's self-righteousness? He sends him back into greater duty, and he blesses Elijah's faith. The way of freedom, you see, it's when you can readily do difficult things in service to the Lord, even when you're tired. The way of the cross is the way of life. You, no doubt, will have situations that are difficult, that call for things when you are already exhausted, beyond your own power, but yet the Lord calls you to put your hand to the plow. You know certain people before you could use your service, as exhausted as you may be. You're not doing any better for yourself by holding on to things and not sharing what you could. Christ our Lord was not content to remain in heaven, but he took the Father's charge to go and lay down his life to save you from your sin, and he gladly did that despite the weight, and he considered it his joy. He did not live to not die, but he lived to die for the sake of others, and all things were fulfilled by his great actions. Indeed, he fulfilled all righteousness for you, and he wants you to now walk in the way of righteousness. He calls you to participate in this way, in the way of greater freedom, life, and joy. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.